think I can handle it?
Very good then, Mr. McGinnis. Welcome to my world.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice.
Welcome once again to the Hall of Justice. Seth Everett here. This is episode 26. And last week, we finally diverted from Star Wars. I was so into the Star Wars, we kept doing Star Wars podcasts. That was very fun. Then we diverted because last week, DC unveiled a crap load. The Flash returned, Arrow returned, this Legends of Tomorrow, which is not half bad, returned, Supergirl was on. They released footage from movies, some good, some not so good. Like, it was a huge DC moment. So we thanked Lauren Galloway. She was great on the podcast. And then I realized, I said, Marvel's not too shabby. Marvel actually played a little coy. They did a Captain America documentary up against the Flash. They tried to play there. They brought Agent Carter back into the fold. Jessica Jones has been on Netflix. There's the movies. And then I remembered last month we were supposed to do a Marvel podcast. And what happened, I met these great guys. They do a great podcast, the Marvel Cinematic Podcast. I hope I'm saying the name right. And I listen to it all the time. And what has happened is they are all about the cinematic universe. Well, the neat thing that Marvel does that DC simply is won't do and is obnoxious for not doing is they have everything connected. If you watch an episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if you watch Daredevil, if you watch anything, it takes place in the same universe as the Ant-Man movie and the Iron Man movies and the Thor movies and the Captain America movies. It's all in one thing. This universe that they've created is a topic of its own. So we found one of the guys. We were supposed to get both of them, but let's be honest, this guy wanted to do it more than the other one. That's the only excuse I can give. Jeff Randall is one of the hosts of the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, and he is joining us in the Hall of Justice today. Jeff, thanks so much for doing that. That's the truth, right? Matt had no interest. He said, Hall of Justice, that's a super friend thing. I'm not doing that.
I wouldn't say that he had no interest, just that he is trying to keep his podcasting to a one-day-a-week kind of thing, and I'm all about it.
This was not his day.
I guess so.
This was not his designated day. He wasn't allowed to do
it. His girlfriend didn't let him come out of the... out of the dungeon.
All right, tell people about how your show got involved. Like, your show, you don't do the X-Men movies, or at least I haven't heard you do the X-Men movies. You don't do the Tobey Maguire or the Andrew Garfield movies. You don't do anything that took place outside of this specific universe.
Right.
Is that correct?
Everything that's Marvel Studios-based with Kevin Feige at the helm is what we cover. We first got started kind of like we both watched Guardians of the Galaxy, which... I mean, is one of the ultimate space operas, let's be honest. And we both watched it and just loved it. And we had had a lot of conversations about it, just kind of saying, like, you know, this is why I love this movie. And we had all late night conversations. He was like, we should just do a podcast about this because we're talking about it enough. And your opinions are interesting and my opinions are mine. And then... like, I already do this other podcast. I've already got the equipment. Let's just do it. And I was like, all right.
Sure.
let's get on that.
So then you kind of went back and talked about the origin. My history with this origin, and this is more for the audience, and I think I told you guys this when I spoke to you, I have a little bit of a different take on it. When Marvel Studios was getting created, My wife worked for Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
She worked the timeline of her employment is leveled in movies. I don't know the years, but I can tell you she worked on Spider-Man 3. The Spider-Man 3, that was when she started working there. And as she was leaving, the talk was that Marvel was going to finance its own Iron Man movie. Mm. And I said at that point, that is the dumbest idea I have ever heard. I said, Iron Man is boring. I said, the only time Iron Man was ever interesting was when he was drunk. That's not what they're going to do. This was way before Disney. This is before all of this stuff. And I didn't understand. I didn't think that was going to be a success. Give Jon Favreau credit. Give Robert Downey Jr. credit. They made a boring character into an exciting one. And they made a great movie. Iron Man, the first Iron Man, is a great movie. The thing that happened then, do you think that's when they had the grand plan? Do you think they created the universe then?
Well, at the time, they put out Iron Man and The Incredible Hulk in the same year. A lot of people don't remember that they were very few months apart when they first came out. And Iron Man was just so much more popular, and The Incredible Hulk was not so much. So it took a little bit longer, like it took a couple of years after those two came out for them to decide, I'm thinking at least, to decide on the direction of the universe. Do we want to go light with levity? Do we want to go dark and broody? And they picked the Iron Man route because it was just so much more popular. And like they already had those two connected because there was the credit scene in The Incredible Hulk where Robert Downey Jr. came in and, you know, said, what if I told you we're putting a team together? So they had the connection already there. They knew what they were doing. They had an idea, I guess, a framework down, and then they just had to pick which skeleton to go with or which meat to put into it. And here we are.
So now Marvel has this universe, and now, you know, they've expanded everything. I love how they reference everything in everything. Some stuff's better than others. We can talk about Jessica Jones. We can talk about Daredevil. We can talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I was on your podcast. We had a great discussion about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But what has happened is they reference everything. I wish, and I know this has been debunked, I like the idea that the animated universe is the same universe too. You know, because
yeah, that would be nice.
Guardians of the Galaxy and Ultimate Spider-Man, Agent Coulson is in Ultimate Spider-Man. I mean, there could be tie-ins to the whole thing. I just love the connectivity of that. I wonder what's your theory on why Marvel wants to be that connected while DC is literally saying movies are movies and TV is TV?
Well, it looks like Marvel saw the potential for something similar to the comic books, because every time you have, like, say with the Fantastic Four, like the Fantastic Four first one with Ian Gruffudd and, you know, Chris Evans' first Marvel outing, like it was okay. It had,
right. It was there.
Yeah, it existed. It was all right, whatever. And then they had a sequel.
It's not the worst thing Marvel's ever done.
Right. And then they had a sequel and you're just kind of like, what happened in between? Like, why did they choose this? No, did somebody change? Like, what's going on here?
But that was more of a writing problem. Silver Surfer looked great.
Yeah.
That scene where the Silver Surfer is chasing Human Torch, that's a brilliantly, visually awesome scene.
Yeah. And you can see the potential there for there being so much more if they had just kept, like, the same people involved and the same people at the helm. And just from that, like, you could build on a universe. And I think that Marvel went, you know what? We've got this. We've got all these comics universes going on. Let's just do the movie thing. And if we make everything interconnected, then people are going to love that, especially if we have the best actors for it. Because, like, without RDJ, Iron Man would not have succeeded.
No, because it's Iron Man. Like, I'm sorry. This is like, to make a sports analogy, this is like a Yankee fan not knowing the Yankees were ever bad.
Right.
Like, people are spoiled. Like, there's 20-year-old kids that grew up Derek Jeter's rookie year. They saw five championships before they were 10 years old.
Yeah.
They don't know about the 80s. Like, they don't know any of that. It's the same idea. The thing that makes it most amazing is that they're all B characters.
Yeah. Yeah, but well, Marvel had already sold off the rights to all of their A-list characters, so they're like...
Because the only people... Right, because there's no way Sony or 20th Century Fox is going to say, I wouldn't make an Iron Man movie, that's dumb!
Because he's, like... Let's be honest, Iron Man is only interesting when he's with other people and or drunk.
Right, he's not an interesting character.
He's a great Avenger.
They hammed it up, right, they hammed it up just enough. They changed it just enough to bring in a modern mythos, I thought was genius.
Yeah.
I thought to put that in the Middle East was different and just enough difference. It still showed respect for the character. It's what made Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3 garbage, but Iron Man 1 is a brilliant piece of cinema. I think that the interesting thing about where it is now, okay, so let's fast forward. This isn't a history lesson,
yeah,
folks. Let's go to where it is now. First of all, Jessica Jones.
Oh, man.
Jessica Jones was a comic that only diehards knew.
Then they weren't quite sure.
Right, but you read it because of Brian Michael Bendis.
Yep.
He existed. The villain in a television show is a guy called the Purple Man. I mean, I can't sit here. I have to know, what was the meeting like to say we can turn that into a television show that is gripping the nation, that is an absolutely fantastic piece of television?
You can't, like, we don't know what goes on behind Marvel's closed doors, but at this point, I trust them. With that character, you have to think, like, this is a character that can mind control literally anybody and take over the world given enough power. And that's a really scary kind of person to have to deal with. And to have him lurking in the shadows is just, that's what made it such a great psychological thriller, is that he's just in the background most of the time. And then he's played by David Tennant and has this great foreground presence and this the acting chops to really bring that character to light like that. Again, without David Tennant, Kilgrave might not have been all that awesome. He might not have been such a great
character.
Right,
he'd have been the Purple Man.
He would have been the Purple Man instead of Kilgrave.
Right, Kilgrave was a crazy villain. I mean, it's a dark show.
Oh, yeah.
The idea, and it's very funny because I supported publicly and privately, I supported Heroes. I thought Heroes was
interesting. I loved
in the beginning,
Heroes.
I loved Heroes. Heroes Reborn, it's all right. I'm going to see the end. I'll see it through. that's all I can
it
do.
It deserves we're that much.
Right. We're recording on the day that the finale is going to air. Okay. I'll make, you know, it'll get seen. That's all I can promise.
I've seen half of the premiere of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it just
didn't
keep me.
Right, it's just, but it's funny because the Parkman character has mind control.
But he's
and,
a good guy.
No. Well, you didn't watch Heroes Reborn.
Yeah.
But the point of what I'm saying is, what his mind control tasks were tiddlywinks compared to Kilgrave.
Right.
Like the idea that the best Kilgrave, like, he had all of those people tie a noose around their neck and stand on the top of a bar.
Yeah.
Like, they don't write comics like that. That is taking it to another level. It is violent, but it's not gratuitous. It's sexy, but it's not porn. It's fantastic.
It's everything that we hoped it could be. And now, there was a bit of gore to be had in, like, the apartment owners, like, with the arm trying to get that down to the disposal. But, like,
And he takes the head, and she throws the head on the desk.
Yeah, yeah. Things like that. God, the amount of strength involved. Ugh. Anyway, so there's a bit of gore, but not a gratuitous amount, like you said. And it's like this show, and really all of the Netflix series so far, both of them.
Right.
It's like they're pushing the boundaries of what television can do for us. And honestly, being on Netflix allows that to roam free and have all of the creative and artistic license and freedom that they need. Because like Heroes Reborn being on broadcast television really severely limits what they could do and get away with, in my opinion.
Well, correct. And we got into this debate on your podcast. The idea, when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was conceived, the Netflix thing wasn't happening at the time.
Yeah.
I think if they had their druthers, they would do Daredevil before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They committed to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ABC is owned by Disney. It's all in the corporate family. I get it. I get the sense when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to me, and I've said this on my podcast, I've said it on yours, to me, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. exacerbates what they don't have. It reminds you that the S.H.I.E.L.D. is the Avengers, and no Avengers can be on this.
Yeah.
And to make Agent Melinda May this superhero when she's a tough woman, I mean, a brilliant actress, there's nothing scary about her. There's nothing intimidating. Like the stakes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're going off on a tangent.
Okay.
I just think my question to you is if they knew they could do Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and the Defenders, do you think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be on the air?
That's hard to say because a lot of the pull behind Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was bringing Coulson back to life. Because when they killed him in the Avengers, that it fell prey to the whole like the Joss Whedon thing, like you have to kill the character that's the heart of the movie that everybody loves, and they had a chance to bring him back because nobody stays dead in comics. And
right.
They had the opportunity, so why not run with that and find out what happens? But as far as bringing him back, like if it hadn't happened before, if Daredevil and Jessica Jones are already out, I think that they would put Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Netflix and make it better than it is. But
interesting.
I don't know that they would do it in broadcast form like it is currently. I don't think it would be in its current state.
What's your view as this all continues on the fact that now there's a Daredevil season 2, there's going to be a Jessica Jones season 2? I thought the idea was, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and then the Defenders. Have they abandoned that? What's the status of that?
No, those are all still coming on Netflix. Actually, Netflix updated their pages for those recently to have like short descriptions. They're still filming Luke Cage right now. They're still casting for Iron Fist. I think they're writing Iron Fist right now, but they're mostly focusing on the things that were very popular and keeping the interest going while they're working on all the new things in the back end. Originally, when it first released, like when Daredevil first released and then Jessica Jones released, and they were like, we're going to do a Daredevil season 2, and that's going to come out before anything else, that made me think of when phase 1 of the MCU movies came out, and you had Iron Man and then the Incredible Hulk, and Iron Man did so well, they were like, crap, now we got to do another one of those before we can move on with the rest of the opening Avengers before we get to the team-up movie. And it mirrored that in my eyes. But now they're coming out with a Jessica Jones season 2, and I don't know what to think. I'm going to be busy is all it is.
Well, my only issue is I don't know where they can go. Like,
where can they go with that series?
But I will also say I didn't think they could go where they went the first time. I have to give these an open line. Like I have to say, look, they hooked you once, they have to hook you again.
Right.
My one thing I'm giving the edge to Daredevil in one aspect. 12 to 13, I told you this story before. I had to stop what I was doing. I was on the road. I was on a work assignment. I ran to my hotel. I blew off my entire company to go see episode 13 because I had seen 12, and I could not focus. I saw 12 in my hotel in the morning. I woke up, and I saw 12. I had to go to work. I went to work. I got done with whatever I was doing. I remember where I was. I was in Philadelphia. It was for Con TV. We were doing a comic book property. And I went, and the whole staff was going out to dinner. And I said, I got to go. And I ran to the hotel, and I saw episode 13 of Daredevil. I couldn't get enough of it.
Priorities.
Jessica Jones, I have had civility. That is the only comparison. That's the only reason why I'm giving the edge. I find these things to be better than some of the movies.
That's fair.
I find them better than the Thor movies.
You have 13 hours to get to know these characters and develop them fully and make them real. And it's a lot harder to do that in a movie, especially for something as fantastical as Thor.
Yeah, I mean, Thor is – they're nice movies. I mean, Thor, I thought the Asgard stuff was great. Once they come to Earth and, you know, put him in, you know, regular life situations with the broke girl, I don't know. it was just kind of eh. And, you know, in Captain America, I thought First Avenger was great. My complaint with First Avenger, I wish they had spent more time with him in the present so that the first time you see modern Captain America is not the Avenger.
Right.
They went into so much detail, but I know that story. I've seen that story. You know what I mean? Like, I know what happens. I get it. I understand. And I just thought you could have, you know, once he runs out, remember when he runs out and he's in Times Square?
Mm-hmm.
And he has no idea what the hell's going on. Like, give me 30 more minutes right there.
Just him running around confused.
Right. right.
I could see that being a fun thing.
Like, I don't know. It's a mire. Look, these movies are good. They're all good. Age of Ultron, I thought was predictable.
Yeah. A lot of people found it rushed.
Jessica Jones and Daredevil were... What are they going to do next? Like, oh, my God. Avengers, I get it. Ultron, I understand. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I got it. They fought Ultron. They lifted up an island. You know, people crushed Superman Returns because it was about a rock.
Right.
What did the Avengers do? Like, what was the difference?
Vibranium. There was a robot involved.
Yeah, in that case. And then, you know, and that's funny because there's the whole next phase of Marvel. Like, where do you see this all going?
Ooh, man. Well, I mean, Doctor Strange comes out this year. So, and that's not even considering Civil War. Like, Civil War is going to be a massive
event. Civil War looks
great,
yeah.
And... it looks more and more like it's just going to be a Civil War, or I'm sorry, a Captain America buddy flick trying to save Bucky. Because it's they keep saying it's a very Cap-centric story, and it's very much focused on him trying to save his friend. But there's also going to be that huge conflict. So after that, when they get into Doctor Strange, you've got an entirely new world opening up to the Marvel Cinematic Universe of the mystical realm.
Does that tie into all the Infinity Stones and all that shenanigans?
There's the major theory with Doctor Strange right now is that his brooch, or well, I guess his necklace, the Eye of Agamotto, is the time gem.
I thought it was Agamotto.
However you want to pronounce it.
You say Amagato, I say Amagoto. Sorry.
So, because...
I'm leaving that in. Folks, if you think I'm deleting that out of the podcast, I'm not. I'm leaving it in.
That's fair. That's a good call. I would leave it. Because of what Feige said about how it can control probability, and he's like, and that's another way of saying mess with time, people are like, oh my God, that's obviously the time gem. And I guess that's a fair assumption to make, considering we need a time jump, and then there's one more to have after that to get...
What do you mean, we need a time jump? Why do we need a time jump?
Because that's one of the six Infinity Stones. Because we've gotten four of them
so far.
But
we need that, but we don't need that.
Well, we need a stone, and time gem fits with that. And
oh, a time gem. I thought you said time jump.
Oh, no, time
this
gem.
This might not stay. That might get eliminated.
So we need a time gem to, you know, to complete the gauntlet, basically. And that fits perfectly with what he was saying. Doctor Strange having one of the Infinity Stones fits with the comics where he was part of the Illuminati, like they kept the Infinity Stones. And he's the Sorcerer Supreme. He's a very, very powerful being, so it makes sense that he could keep and control one of the stones.
And he's Sherlock, and he's Khan.
Yeah. Like, he's got it all going for him.
And he's a great actor. He's a fantastic actor.
I'm so looking forward to that. Like, there are so many people on the forums of CBR that, you know, they had said that they're more excited about Suicide Squad than after that second trailer with the Bohemian Rhapsody in it. Like, they're more excited about Suicide Squad than they are Doctor Strange. And I'm like, clearly you don't know what you're talking about.
No way. Suicide Squad, if you've ever seen the animated movie Batman Assault on Arkham, it's the exact same story. It's exactly the same story, and I'm sorry, you're not going to make me care about Deadshot. You're not.
No.
I barely care about Deadpool. It's not going to work. I'll see it because I want to see the Joker, and I want to see how they butchered him, but it's not... you're selling... I didn't even know until the other night. I didn't even know Killer Croc was in it.
He doesn't look like Killer Croc.
That doesn't look like him at all.
He looks like a turd that got baked a little too much.
It's very strange.
Big pile of human crap.
Yeah, just very, very odd. That whole thing looks very odd. Civil War looks very compelling.
It does.
Civil War, I mean, the book was great. I mean, the whole idea of Captain America versus Iron Man, I think I said this on your show, I just hope it's not about Bucky.
Yeah.
I hope it's about something else. Like, you know, what you had, I think it was you that had told me, somebody said to me that Civil War is based on an incident in Connecticut in which a lot of people were killed. I don't blame them if they change that because of what happened in Connecticut with the elementary school.
Yep.
So I'm not saying don't change that. Change that. But supposedly Bucky gets framed for it.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like.
And or Bucky did it. You know, who knows? And that's where the whole thing... That I buy. The trailer didn't sell that. The trailer sold... It's my friend. I'm like...
Yeah. When a trailer for a movie can make you tear up at just the lines and the acting in it, you know the movie's going to be incredible.
I'm more into Civil War than I was Age of Ultron.
That's fair.
Is there any chance any of the Netflix friends get into any of those movies?
It's not. I'm going to go ahead and call it. It's not going to happen in Civil War.
Not in Civil War. They already have a lot of cameos. Spider-Man's making a cameo.
Yeah,
right.
It's unlikely, but I would say it's possible. Just because there's been so many interviews where people are saying like, "Hey, Charlie Cox, is Daredevil going to be in Infinity War? Is he going to show up there? Like, do you get to punch Thanos?" And he said that there's been no talks about it, and that Marvel Studios and Marvel TV are very different entities, so it's unlikely that could happen, but it's still possible.
I will say, Charlie Cox, he's lying there. But,
yeah.
but I do want to tell a story about something Charlie Cox did that was really amazing. A crazy story. I work for this charity called Guiding Eyes for the Blind. I MC their charity golf tournament every year, and they also have a cocktail not a cocktail party. It's just like a cocktail fundraiser that they have.
Yes.
Eli Manning, the quarterback for the Giants, is the spokesperson for it, and I'm the MC, so I see him all the time. And I had done something. I might have started the Hall of Justice podcast. It might have been around the same time. And we were chit-chatting over a beer, and Eli Manning says, so what's good in comics right now? And Daredevil had just come out, and I had said, oh my God, you got to see this show, Daredevil. It's mind-numbing. It's fantastic. And he was like, what's Daredevil about? And I said, it's about a blind lawyer who fights crime. And we're at a charity where they find guide dogs for blind people. He goes, blind lawyer? Why is Daredevil not here? Blind lawyer?
That would have
been
the best opportunity.
So I want to give a shout out to the folks at Marvel because they met with the CEO of Guiding Eyes for the Blind. And the people from Daredevil, like there's going to be a poster or something where Charlie Cox in the costume is going to do something for the charity.
Oh.
Auction off something like, oh my God, go get him. Like that's amazing. The connection was made. I cannot take credit for it because it wasn't my connection. But yes, there's a blind superhero. Yes, he should be involved in a charity for blind people.
Absolutely.
I thought it was really, really cool. It was just a really neat thing. But he's lying about the movie.
Oh, yeah, obviously. They've said, the Russo brothers have said recently that they have a board that they're working with of 67 characters for Infinity War. And they said 67 so far. And that, you know, that still includes like supporting characters and whatnot. But if you put all of the heroes that have been in some form of Marvel on-screen entity and like in the ones that we've seen already, the ones that are coming up that we know about, and like, you know, things that haven't been filmed yet, this is including Iron Fist and Captain Marvel, like they're still only in the low 40s, that number of heroes or that exist that we've seen or are going to see before and inside of Infinity War. So like there's the possibility that we could get literally everybody.
Right. I mean, it could be that they just up the ante. All right, two questions then on the future. Luke Cage, what are your expectations? Did you see enough?
Did I see enough of Luke Cage? Absolutely not.
Are you eagerly anticipating Luke Cage?
Oh yeah.
Like, did you see enough to get you hooked?
Absolutely. I've loved Luke Cage since for a while. Like since I was reading stuff back in the early 2000s, like Luke Cage has been awesome. And when they said that they were going to do a series and have Luke Cage, I'm like, that means Iron Fist is coming too. And then they said Iron Fist as well. And I was like, they could have their show together. They could be the heroes for hire. They could do all this. And when I saw Mike Coulter as Luke Cage, I was just like, there has never been a more perfect casting choice. Maybe RDJ as Tony Stark. Maybe. But he looks perfect. He sounds perfect. His acting is perfect.
I mean, sweet Christmas.
Sweet Christmas.
I love that. I love that. Only a comic book fan gets that.
Yep.
But that's for comic book fans.
Oh yeah, that was the when he said that, I was like, that was for me. He did that for me. That wasn't written in. That was for me. And
that's brilliant.
I know that the series is going to be so good along with that. And they're getting into, like, this is our first, as far as I can remember, this is our first hero who is like a straight up ex-con.
Mm-hmm.
No, I lied. Ant-Man, duh. We saw
right.
But like,
yeah, he went to prison.
Our first black leading hero is kind of a big deal. And like,
he was great. He was fantastic.
We're going to see his history. Like, they didn't touch on really how he got his powers. All they said was experiment. So there's a lot of potential for a flashback, especially in a 13-episode series. Like, oh, there's so much to be done there, and I'm really excited, if you can't tell.
Well, there's two questions. I have heard, and this is just rumors and such, I have heard that they don't have enough for 13 episodes of Iron Fist. There's a chance Iron Fist is a Netflix movie or a miniseries, like a 5 or 6 episodes. Have you heard anything like that?
I heard something similar to that a while ago when they were saying that The Punisher was going to be a series, like they were going to do The Punisher series instead and then do Iron Fist as a Netflix movie. I still don't think that there's credit to that because they're still pushing forward on a series and they've got the placeholder spot for the series, and the Defenders series is going to come right after that. So I'm not sure about whether or not they'd have enough content because there's a lot of Iron Fist mythos to pull from. I don't see why they wouldn't have enough.
I don't know. It's just what I heard. I don't know. I don't know enough about Iron Fist. I'll be honest. I don't know enough.
You got to read The Living Weapon. The Living Weapon series was fantastic for an Iron Fist book because like the big thing with Iron Fist is when he first came out, it was him and Luke Cage around the same time. There was the blaxploitation is what was going on with Luke Cage, and the kung fu craze was going on for Iron Fist. They've since moved on from that and stopped with the whole like the Mighty Whitey kind of outlook and character. So he's now just one of the living weapons in the world, and there's it's such a deep story and
interesting.
So
interesting.
Much to do with it.
His character was kind of lame in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah,
the cartoon, like he wasn't anything.
Yeah, and the same could be said for his character in when he was in Avengers: Earth's Mightiest Heroes, that animated series, because he was in there for a couple of episodes and he wasn't
very much. You're right. He wasn't much. He just hasn't had a great portrayal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it could be very interesting. And we'll just kind of all wait and see. So Civil War, Daredevil, that's the imminent. It's Civil War, Daredevil, and Luke Cage. Those are the three things in order, correct?
No, it's going to be Daredevil first. Daredevil is actually releasing March 18th.
And Civil War is not until May.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
And then probably Luke Cage. One of our fans on our podcast, he runs up our kind of scheduling predictions, so to speak, and he's predicting that Luke Cage is going to hit around July, which would make sense because that's when there's a big lull in Marvel content.
I see. And then, and you don't do the podcast about it, but you're a fan. Do you watch the Netflix, the X-Men series? Do you watch? Are you anticipating Deadpool? You think that's going to be great? To me, I don't think they all have to be divorced.
I will say that the X-Men First Class was better than X3, and
yes,
it was kind of getting back to where X-Men was fun again. I had to separate what I know about Marvel continuity from myself to get behind it. And Days of Future Past kind of just pissed me off.
Oh, I see, and I loved it. What didn't you like about Days of Future Past?
Like, where did Kitty get those random, send your mind back in time kind of powers? Like, what is that?
Well, they needed it to be an actor. Who was the person in the comic that did it?
It was Forge, made a machine to send Logan back.
Right. Right, and then in the animated series, they made Forge be the guy that comes back.
Yeah. So, I mean, and Bishop at one point went back. So
supposedly,
happened.
Supposedly, Kitty was the person that went back. Isn't that true?
I don't remember, actually.
Oh, okay.
It was just jarring.
Okay, so, all right. I loved Days of Future Past. I thought, given the continuities, I love that X-Men technically... James McAvoy becomes Patrick Stewart. Like, I love that.
Have you seen him with his shaved head?
I saw, but then I saw Bryan Singer said that this is an alternate timeline now because of Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
So that everything in the X-Men movies doesn't have to be. It's an alternate universe.
That's...
Like, I love that in First Class when she tries to be older, she turns into Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just love, like, little things of continuity like that. Like, I don't want somebody else to ever be Wolverine.
And it's going to have to happen, though.
Well, see, I guess that's the next thing is, like, when I was talking about the future, like, is Iron Man going to be somebody other than Robert Downey Jr.? What, how old is Robert Downey Jr.? Isn't he in his 50s?
He's in his 50s, yeah. I think he's 51. I'm not going to commit to that. Let me check this. He's 50. He's right at 50.
I mean, how long can he do this, you know?
Well, I mean, his body's going to give out at some point, but... I mean, there have been other people who have worn the Iron Man suit, like War Machine, or, well, Rhodey went into the Iron Man suit and was Iron Man for a little bit before Tony Stark came back. And, they're going to have to recast it anyway. And it's not like they haven't done recasting before. Between Iron Man 1 and 2, you had Rhodey as a different person. I like Don Cheadle more.
Right. That was one. And also, technically, in their universe, Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
And Edward Norton are the same character.
Yeah, and Fandral in the Thor movies was a different person on the second time.
I mean, I don't know.
You didn't really notice that one.
Are we being nitpicky?
Probably. It's going to be difficult for that high profile a character to be recast well and have people accept it. I think he might just have to die.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the thing that you wonder. I mean, it took Superman forever to make another movie. It took them. I mean, it's the stuff of legend how they didn't make movies. But you know, from Christopher Reeve to Brandon Routh took what 20 some odd years.
Yeah, it was a long time.
I mean,
and then it wasn't that good.
these things are too much money. There's too much at stake.
Yeah.
Like, how is there not going to be an Iron Man 4?
It's all about the contracts. He wants a lot of money now. He's worth a lot of money now. And, I mean, Marvel's making enough. Disney's making enough to give him that money, in my opinion. Like, give him what he's worth so that he keeps coming back and we get to have this, but...
Yeah, like, what's the difference?
And... I'm scared that he's just going to be like, you know what? No, creatively, I need to do other things. But he's taken on the persona of Tony Stark so well and so deeply. Like, did you saw the video where he gave the random kid a robotic arm?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like,
I mean, awesome.
He does such great stuff as Tony Stark. Like, he can't be anybody else. He can't.
I mean.
But he's going to have to be.
I guess. I guess. All right, before we wrap this up, all time, what's your favorite Marvel thing in this cinematic universe?
Favorite Marvel thing in the cinematic universe? Hard to say. I like that one trailer that was released in... No.
Yeah.
I would have to say probably still the first Thor movie, but that's because I'm a Thor fanboy. Mm-hmm. Just because it's set up, like Kenneth Branagh as a director, set up this fantastical realm so well and told such a perfect story for Thor. And it fit.
He did Cinderella.
Yeah.
Which he did an amazing job.
And he's done a lot of Shakespearean stuff. Like, when they announced that Kenneth Branagh was going to be the director, I was like, oh, that's perfect, because Thor speaks in Old English, and he's done all of this Shakespearean stuff, and, like, that's going to be a perfect marriage of the two. And then they didn't speak in Old English. He was just kind of elevated speech a little bit, but I was okay with that.
It's interesting. You know, it's funny. Now that Sony and Marvel have their deal, and that Spider-Man's coming into this world
sooner than we thought, too.
Much sooner than we thought. What's your thought on that? I mean, what's your thought on just the idea that we're talking about, you know, this iconic character? Because, you know, let's be honest, that's their number one.
Yeah, Spider-Man has been number one in comic sales for a while. And he's been the top movie or the top Marvel movie grossing entity for a he was for a little bit. And, like, it's the one character that everybody goes to when you think of Marvel. Like, if you look at all of the Marvel merchandise anywhere, there's going to be, before the big Avengers push, there was Spider-Man and Wolverine. And then, like, maybe Captain America. But, like, Spider-Man was the go-to. And to have him come into this, and especially to keep him in high school as long as they're talking about, to have him going through high school for several movies, like, that's doing so much more justice to the character than they had before. Because, like, having him just immediately graduate and move on to, you know, some news job within the first half hour of the movie, you're not telling the Spider-Man story. And I'm just really excited.
They can go back. It's interesting. You know, I didn't hate that because I'm a huge fan of the Spider-Man animated series from the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was great. I thought that was so well done. I was so impressed with that. When I talk about cameos, those are my favorite cameos. When the world was – X-Men did it too. When the world was about to come to an end and they flashed all over the world and you saw, like, the randomest hero for 2 seconds.
Yep.
You know, like, Spider-Man was in the X-Men and so was Captain America for, like, a minute, you know?
Yep.
I used to love that stuff. So him being in college didn't bother me because he was in college then.
Well, yeah, he was in college there, but, like, in the comics, he spent a long time being in high school, and that was a big part of his character for a while, is that he had to balance being a hero with being in high school and doing the normal high school stuff, which, I mean, kind of can be translated to college relatively easily, but he also, when in college, had, like, the pizza job or, you know, the random other jobs and the oddball photography jobs and whatnot. Like, there was a lot going on for him when we can focus on just him in high school and his relationships with the people around him in high school. We can have a lot better build of a Spider-Man character and story.
You're right. You're absolutely right. There's a lot there. There's a lot of potential, and I love that it exists. You know, to be honest with you, that would be the only way I would want to do an X-Men reboot for Wolverine. You know, because they had Wolverine be Wolverine in First Class, I kind of think that's your Wolverine. Like, that's your only – you've done his entire life story. It just seems like when he hangs it up, you can't just recast the guy. Whereas the other guys, there's the distinct age difference. You know, it's Ewan McGregor and Alec Guinness. I had no problem accepting that Ewan McGregor was Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, I love all these YouTube videos that show Alec Guinness telling Luke Skywalker, you know, crazy stuff from the past, and they're showing flashbacks from the prequels. I think that's genius, you know, like, it's really funny. Like, to me, like, I'm a continuity nut, so I look at that kind of stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of see it, and it's why I love what Marvel's doing. Even though I think these are all B-list characters, and you know, Guardians of the Galaxy was D-list.
Yeah, at best,
I mean, they were nobodies. They were absolute nobodies. Ant-Man was a C, maybe, just because he was in the Avengers.
Yeah, he was
so,
a founding,
you know,
Avengers, so everybody kind
right.
of knew about him from
you
that.
Heard of him.
Yeah, yeah,
right. You heard of him, and. I just give them all the credit in the world for what they've been able to do with the B team. I mean, they have not had a heavy hitter, which is really why DC has so much pressure on them, because DC has the icons.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly think that they're cracking because they're throwing everybody into this Justice League movie. Like, even in Dawn of Justice, like, if you look at the trailer, the trailer tells the entire story. And I don't want all of that. And then when Wonder Woman shows up, you're like, oh, she's going to show up at the end of the movie and, like, not really have much going on, probably not say much, and you're going to wonder who the hell is this. And then she's going to get her own movie, and then we're going to have this Justice League movie where people are just thrown in, like Cyborg and Flash are coming in, and there's no movie scheduled for them until, like, 2018, and they're just coming out of nowhere. You can't just throw a bunch of people in like that and expect it to be okay.
I have to give Zack Snyder a little bit of credit. There's an earlier episode of Hall of Justice, episode 13, back from the summer. Heath Corson is the guy who wrote the Justice League animated movies, the more recent ones.
Yeah.
Justice League War. He's done a lot of the stuff. He's an unbelievable guest. It's a great – trust me, it's not because of me. He's a great guest. It's a great podcast. But anyway, my point is Heath Corson did some – he told me that they purposely told him to make Superman a dick.
Wow.
And I have to think – and this is why I want to give Zack Snyder the benefit of the doubt, and I'm having an open mind – for Batman v Superman, even though I derail Man of Steel. Like, I complain about Man of Steel. Like, I can complain about Man of Steel. I can do hours just complaining about Man of Steel.
But nobody wants to listen.
He's not Superman.
Yeah.
I don't care what you call him. That's not Superman. There's nothing super about him. And he's not even likable. And Zack Snyder, I'm not pinning that on him because of what Heath Corson said. So now, based on that logic, that DC just didn't like Superman anymore, so they wanted to Iron Man him. They wanted to change him. And whereas Iron Man got changed for the better, Superman got changed for the much, much worse.
Yeah.
And I know this isn't – we're doing Marvel, we're not doing DC, but this argument, I saw Watchmen, and – I think Watchmen, first of all, if Netflix was Netflix when Watchmen came out, it would be one of the best series you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
You split that into, you know, you take those 3 hours and turn that into six, you know, 45 minutes or six half hours. That's a great, great movie. And it's not a movie you can see in theaters.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, bathrooms are needed. And so Zack Snyder gets comics. He gets iconic imagery. He gets all that. You know what I'm saying? I have to believe he is being handed the keys to something. He has a point. And that at some point I'm going to say, all right, this guy's Superman. People have complained about Ben Affleck. I don't think he's the problem. Batman doesn't bother me. He's not going to entice me. I think the problem is Superman. And it's a shame what they've done to that character because –
Superman functions best when he's a Boy Scout. When he's the big blue Boy Scout, and honestly, if they made him more like Captain America, he would probably be a lot more likable.
But doesn't Captain America prove that you can have a Boy Scout on a team?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm interested to see where it all goes. I'm not as down on DC and what they're doing. I just don't understand everything.
I don't understand why they had to butcher Joker and the first introduction of Harley Quinn in any like live action DC property is this terrible, just teen punk look, and so much more could have been done with Margot Robbie.
Yes.
She doesn't even have the accent.
Yeah, Mr. J. She doesn't do any of that. Who knows? Who knows? That's for another conversation. tell people about the Marvel. What's it called?
Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast.
Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. You can just search that on iTunes. Is that the best?
That is the best way to find us. We can be found at mcucast.com, facebook.com/mcucast, at mcucast on Twitter. We have a voicemail that you can call in and leave us a voicemail. It's 573-CAST-MCU.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere that you search MCU Cast, we are there. And
that's very cool,
member
man.
Member of the Giant Size Team Up Network.
what's that?
It is a combination of a lot of comics based podcasts. Our sister podcast, the DC On Screen podcast, is a part of them.
Oh, nice.
Our manager, Charles McFall, is...
Do they complain about Man of Steel,
too?
Oh,
so much. So much so. And there's shows like Breaking the Panel. They cover everything from or all comic news from, they say, from the back bins to the big screens. There's the Blazing Defender Report, who he basically just tells you what to read is in comics, like what's good.
Cool. Very good.
And
very cool.
Yeah, I don't remember all of the podcasts on there. I'm being a bad member right now.
No, but people can find that out. And how can they find you on Twitter?
Yeah, we're on Twitter at MCUcast, Facebook.com/MCUcast, MCUcast.com, email at MCUcast@gmail.com, pretty much MCUcast everywhere.
Sounds great, man. It sounds absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for doing this. Please tell me you'll come back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of fun, and we tackled a lot of things. We were all over the place, which is exactly what I thought we would be. Good luck with the shows. Good luck again.
Thank you.
Let's do this again, maybe around the time of Civil War or something.
Oh yeah, let's circle back and talk about how right we were.
yeah, exactly. That's very funny. That's Jeff Randall. I'm Seth Everett. This has been episode 26 of the Hall of Justice. It's all right. We can do a Super Friends reference in the Hall of Justice. Heck, we can do a Knight Rider reference, too. We have lots more to come, lots more planned for the podcast, so stay tuned. Our thanks to Jeff Randall. Catch the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. You can find it on iTunes and all this stuff. Leave us a review. I'm Seth Everett. See you next time.